Palm Sunday moves from a celebration to the story of a passion, from the greens to the blues and purples. And so as we move towards hearing the rest of that story, as will be shared with us from Matthew's Gospel, the story is centered around one of the hardest questions of our faith, the question around what to do about the problem of evil. Why does evil exist? How can evil exist in a world that's overseen by a loving and a benevolent God? Those are questions that lots of people struggle with. Now, there are two common answers given to the question about why evil exists. Number one, evil comes from wrong choices that we freely make. Our free wills choose things that lead to painful or tragic consequences. Or secondly, evil is those things that happen to us that have a component of being a warning for us, to teach us lessons that we need to learn. Now, both of those two answers are flawed, but each contain a kernel of truth. First, the choices that we make may be well-intended, may sincerely strive to do good things in the world, but each of us in all that we do also sins. And we never see the full range of consequences that result from the decisions that we make each day. We may mean to do well, but some of the choices that we make lay a foundation that leads to grief or suffering tomorrow. And if you multiply that dynamic and those choices by millions and millions of freely acting human beings, active over centuries of time, you have a recipe for a world that is deeply tangled between that which is good and that which is evil. And secondly, no matter how terrible evil may be, there is always the possibility to learn from it. Now, that does not excuse the evil. That does not excuse the tragedy. But it is a dynamic that exists and cannot be denied. A recent article I read spoke about soldiers returning home from serving in the Iraq-Afghanistan war, coming home wounded, struggling with post-traumatic stress disorder. But soldiers who also acknowledged that their experiences led them to a time of personal growth, and truthfully led them to a level of commitment and hopefulness that they had never felt before, and that would have been impossible in their lives had they not endured all they'd gone through. This condition actually has a name, and it's called post-traumatic growth. Now, this is very difficult terrain to discuss in a sermon, because evil is painful, evil is bad. It cannot be dismissed by anyone as something that's necessary to help you grow. But there is always something at work in this life that is bigger and stronger than the evil itself. There are ways that goodness can emerge out of the ashes of pain and loss and suffering. And that's why we retell the story of Christ. To learn anything about the deep questions of life means that you must look deeply at life. In this case, we must be willing to look deeply at this story of the Son of God, the healer, the blesser, the Savior, who endured the worst that life could inflict upon him or anyone else. We're called to remember Christ's story, because only through that remembrance can we too move to a place that sees a literal horizon of hope beyond the foreground of despair and tragedy. Only through knowing Christ's story can we faithfully speak our own words about resurrection in a world of crucifixion, war, and tragedy. And so now listen to this story once more. For this story is our story as well.
Pilate released Barabbas for them, and after flogging Jesus, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the governor's headquarters, and they gathered the whole cohort around him. They stripped Jesus and put a scarlet robe on him. And after twisting some thorns into a crown, they put it upon Jesus' head. They put a reed in his right hand and knelt before him and mocked him, saying, "Hail, King of the Jews!" They spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. After mocking Jesus, they stripped him of the robe and put his own clothes on him. Then they led him away to crucify him.
And as they went out, they came upon a man from Cyrene named Simon. They compelled this man to carry Jesus' cross. And then when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of a skull, they offered Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. But when he tasted it, he would not drink it. And when they had crucified him, they divided his clothes among themselves by casting lots. Then they sat down there and kept watch over him. Over his head they put the charge against him, which read, "This is Jesus, the King of the Jews."
Then two bandits were crucified with Jesus, one on his right and one on his left. And those who passed by derided him, shaking their heads and saying, "You who would destroy the temple and build it in 3 days, save yourself. If you are the Son of God, come down from the cross."
In the same way, the chief priests also, along with the scribes and elders, were mocking him, saying, "He saved others, yet he cannot save himself. He is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God. Let God deliver him now if he wants to, for he said, 'I am God's son.'"
And the bandits who were crucified with Jesus also taunted him in the same way.
From noon on, darkness came over the whole land until 3 p.m. And about 3:00, Jesus cried with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?"
When some of the bystanders heard it, they said, "This man is calling for Elijah." At once, one of them ran and got a sponge, filled it with sour wine, and put it on a stick, and gave it to him to drink.
But others said, "Wait, let us see whether Elijah will come to save him."
Then Jesus cried again with a loud voice and breathed his last.